Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In one of his lectures, psychologist Abraham Maslow said, "When one is good with a hammer, everything tends to look like a nail." His observation popped into my mind after I read an email from a friend describing the behavior of her new male kitten, a real fireball that reminded me of my own bamboo. She went on describing his antics, and I'm getting this warm, fuzzy feeling about how cats have evolved and how they're solitary predators and how they have this fantastic array of behaviors that show up in the way they play and relate to their environment, and what a wonderful, wonderful thing this whole concept of mind-body evolution is. And then she finished up by saying that he was resource guarding, and she was going to have to do something about that. Well, that comment woke me up in a hurry, and I emailed her back something to the effect of, "Gee, I thought that was normal kitten behavior." And she wrote back with equal good humor, "But I'm a damn trainer." She knew what she was doing. She was looking at him the same way she looks at a dog. And in dogs, the behavior that a normal cat would display, some trainers would consider a problem. During the same period, I was talking to another friend of mine whose physician has pronounced her pre-diabetic and has her checking her blood glucose multiple times during the day. In both of these cases, the hammer is the treatment and the nail is the problem. And as Maslow pointed out, if all you've got is the hammer, then everything tends to look like a nail. What we see in both behavior and in medicine, in humans and animals, is a nail-making process that I think of as diseasification. We as professionals, behavioral or medical professionals, look at a situation through the lens of our treatment and our training. We're looking for nails. We are so focused on what we can change and our treatment that that's all we can see. And if it's not there, and this is where we get into trouble, if it's not there, then we'll redefine what is there so that it becomes a problem because we have the hammer. As far as what's our motivation about this, well, I mean, some people could say, and I think in some cases rightfully so, that maybe it's governed purely by greed, a desire to increase market share. The more problems you can diagnose, the more you have to treat, the more money you'll make. But I think it's also a function of experience. We live in a society where specialization is considered the epitome. And the more and more specialized we become, the more and more we get into the nitty-gritty of a particular problem. We might not know about much, but what we know about, man, we know about down to the nth degree. And when you know something that intimately, naturally, you're going to be able to see early signs and early predictors that other people are going to miss. By pointing these out early and getting the jump on things, we can prevent disasters. It's a nice thought up to a point. But one of the things that we have to keep in mind when we slap these labels on individuals, when we turn normals into pre-diseases or pre-problems of one kind or another, the mere process of slapping that label on the animal changes the relationship between that person and that animal. Did you ever think about this whole pre thing, this whole diseasification process we're involved in right now? It seems like every time I turn around, we've stuck something else into the abnormal category. And we become less and less tolerant of variation. We can't stand it. And we're all being driven or driving ourselves toward this norm, whatever that norm is. I wonder about that, that norm, that perfect, that medically and behaviorally perfect, not in terms of what the owner thinks is the perfect dog or the perfect cat. The one that the test results, the statistics say, is the perfect dog, the perfect cat, the perfect horse, the perfect canary. I mean, what does that animal look like? The way I see it, that animal doesn't exist. If that animal does exist, to tell you the truth, I think that animal would be incredibly boring. Even if that animal was perfectly normal, statistically normal, it also seems to me that there's only one person who would consider that animal perfect, and that would be the statistician who came up with the definition of those norms in the first place. I think of my animals as perfectly normal and perfectly well-behaved. And I know there are a lot of people out there who wouldn't agree. But I think that's because I have more than a hammer. It's hard. God knows it's hard. Perception's funny, isn't it? We all have our hammers of one sort or another. I think the most important thing is to know when to properly use them and when they're not needed at all.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.